I was sitting at LaGuardia Airport in New York, having had my flight canceled out from underneath me. That's a terrifying feeling. You're sitting in New York, over 1,000+ miles from home, in an airport that is absolutely jam-packed with people. You have a flight. One flight is already departing to go home to Dallas, and the flight you're on has been canceled. So you go and you run and you try to get into line to get on another flight, and of course the line goes super slow. And once you get on that flight, you then go sit down and you think to yourself, well, I might as well use the next 4 hours productively. So you pull out your laptop and you open up the Bible on it and you start working on your sermon. And you read the Old Testament lesson and it doesn't speak to you. And you read the Psalter and it doesn't speak to you. And you read the Epistle lesson and that seems interesting to you. And then you read the Gospel lesson and it just kind of goes right over your head and you wonder, what in the world are you going to preach on? And that was me sitting in the noisy, crowded airport on Wednesday. Already started late, because I like to start my sermons on Mondays, friends. So I'm already late, and I don't know what in the world I'm going to preach. And while I was sitting there, looking at the insanity around me, one thing from the gospel started to speak to me, where Jesus reads from Isaiah chapter 61. And I'm going to read it from Isaiah now. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and release to the prisoners. Well, I felt very imprisoned at that airport. I felt captive of the weather and the airlines. And as I looked around, I realized I wasn't alone, that hundreds, thousands were sharing my captivity. And as I thought about it, I realized that's true for all of us everywhere. We share a common captivity, my friends. We share a common imprisonment. We share a common oppression. We share a common brokenness, a common brokenheartedness. We share imprisonment in slavery to sin. We share a common oppressor, and that oppressor is sin. We share imprisonment to our own failures and our own inabilities to do the will of God. My friends, if there is one truth that is universally true about all human beings, it's that we are all sinners in need of a deliverer. We are all sinners in need of deliverer. We are all held captive. We are all imprisoned. We are all trapped, incapable of getting out of our predicament by our own strength, by our own ability, by our own power. We cannot deliver ourselves. Isaiah 61 verse 1 reads again, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me." Jesus took this passage and spoke to that congregation, people who knew him there in Galilee and Nazareth, people who knew him there, eyeballs that he had seen many times, I'm sure, and he gets up there and takes this powerful passage of deliverance from Isaiah, and he begins to read one of the most powerful passages from it. "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me." Now, to us that doesn't sound problematic at all, until you take a look at the word anointed here. It's a very simple word. Mashach in Hebrew. Mashach. It's the same word, Mashiach, Messiah, Christ, Deliverer, Jesus, reading Isaiah 61. Choosing this passage in his hometown, proclaims himself, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has made me Messiah. The Lord has anointed me. The Lord has Messiah'd me. The Lord has made me Messiah." That moment when you wonder what you're going to preach, I imagine when Jesus opened the scroll of Isaiah and he turned to this passage and he opened his mouth, God speaking, he says this, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has Messiah'd me." And what has he sent the Messiah to do? Well, the Jews are expecting a military victor, a great king who will come and overpower and overthrow the Roman occupation armies and throw out those who are oppressing the Jewish people. Listen to what he says. "He has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed." Okay, there you go. All right, good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and release to the prisoners. Oh, that's really good news. I mean, that's what they're expecting the Messiah to do. They're expecting the Messiah to come and to deliver them. Deliver them from the occupation armies of Rome. Deliver them from all of this worldly oppression and sin. The people's inability to worship God rightly. So far, so good, they think. "To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Or as it is rendered in Luke's gospel, "To proclaim the year, the favorable year of the Lord." And there he stops. He didn't finish it. Jesus stops mid-sentence, rolls up the scroll, hands it back to the attendant, and sits down and then says, "Today in your hearing, this word has been fulfilled." He didn't finish the passage, though. What didn't he finish? "And the day of vengeance of our God." There's a little hint in there. Yes, Jesus has come to deliver the captives, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted. He has come to deliver the people of God from their captivity and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the year of the Lord's favor. But at this point, at this moment, because he doesn't read it, the implication is that he has not come to proclaim the day of vengeance of our God. You ever wondered why he didn't finish the passage? It's because what the Jewish people were expecting of their Messiah, it's true expectation, but it's not going to come the way they expect it. We talked about this last year. We're going to do it again this year. Because sometimes we don't get it. What we expect from God, what we expect from our religious life, what we expect from the church, what we expect when we read Scripture, what we expect. You notice the problem in all those statements? The word "we." What we expect is not always and usually isn't what God has in mind. What I want is meaningless. What God plans, what God wants of me, is what matters. The Jewish people were focused on their understanding and not looking for God's understanding. They were expecting a worldly, temporal, military, kingly victor who would throw out the Roman armies, not realizing that the real problem wasn't Rome. The real problem was their own sin. Not realizing that this deliverer, this anointed one, this Messiah would come not just for the Jewish people, but for the whole world. To deliver, yes, even the Romans, from their own captivity to sin. This Messiah would come to deliver not just the Jews. He would come to deliver us all from our sins, from the captivity that we have to our sins, to liberate us from our enslavement to the self. This Messiah comes, and Jesus proclaims it here in reading Isaiah 61, this Messiah comes to proclaim deliverance, not from the oppressions of this life and this world. His focus is not on the poor of this life so much as it is on those who are poor in spirit, lacking the ability to save themselves. His focus is, in other words, on you and on me. His return, His second coming, will be the vengeance of God. His first coming, He brings deliverance. Deliverance from ourselves. Deliverance from sin. As we move through this new church year, as we move through this season of Epiphany, as we move on towards Lent, then through Lent to Easter, then through Easter to Pentecost, then through Pentecost in common time, and on again to Advent again, my friends, as we move through this year, I want us to take a look at what Jesus has done for us as a people, as sinners fallen, forgiven, delivered, set free. I want us to take a look at what it means for us to be children of God, for us to be the body of Christ, for us to be the hands and the feet and the eyes and the mouth of Jesus. I want us to take a look at what it means for us to come to church every single week, notice the empty pews, and do nothing. I want us to take a look at what it means for us to go out every single day and meet people and speak to people, interact with people who do not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and do nothing about it. I want us to look this year and look inwardly this year at how our failure to be the body of Christ, to be anointed ones for others, to be willing to speak with the Holy Spirit speaking through us. I want us to take a look at our failure to be the people God has called us to be, honestly. And I want us to say, no more.
Amen.
I want us to say, no more. My friends, as a people of God, we've been silent too long. as a people of God, called to be the anointed of God, called to be messiahs in this world, called to proclaim the gospel for all the world to see and hear, called to proclaim the gospel of deliverance, called to proclaim the gospel of salvation, called to proclaim through word and deed the news that binds up the brokenhearted. My friends, we have been silent too long. Well, they don't want to hear it. Too bad. God calls us to proclaim through word and action the salvation of God. We have nothing more important to do as the Church of Jesus Christ than to proclaim the salvation of God to others, than to be witnesses to the gospel of Jesus Christ, than to go out and to say to every person we meet, God loves you, and if you have not had a relationship with Him, let me introduce you to Him. We have nothing more important to do than to share Christ Jesus with others. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. The Lord God anoints you today. The Lord God messiahs you. The word Messiah in Hebrew is translated into Greek with the word Christos. Hence we get the name Jesus Christ. That's Jesus Mashiach. Jesus the Messiah, Jesus Christus, Jesus Christ. Christ means Messiah. But Christ in Greek, in ancient Greek, has a very common everyday word. Plastered, covered, anointed, slathered over. These walls are plastered walls. Jesus is the plastered one in Greek. Covered up with God. We are called to be plastered for God. We are called to be covered over with God's presence. We are called to take the anointing of the Holy Spirit and step out these doors and proclaim Jesus to others. I have no excuse, and neither do you, for failing to proclaim with every word and every deed the love of God to others. If we truly are anointed by God, if we truly have the Holy Spirit upon us and the anointing overflowing in and through us, we cannot help but proclaim the acceptable, favorable year of the Lord. We cannot help but proclaim the presence of God in our midst. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, which is where Jesus ended his reading. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Vengeance is going to come. God's vengeance is coming. It's coming, friends. But we have a job to do today. And 2007 is going to be the year of proclaiming the favor of the Lord. The acceptable year of the Lord. The grace of the Lord. The presence of the Lord. We, my friends, here today and for this year are going to be about proclaiming to everyone we meet, as a church, as Christians, as members of the body of Christ, as the hands and the feet and the mouth and the eyes and the ears and the nose of Jesus, we are called to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor to everyone we meet. Well, Greg, I can't do that. I'm just Jesus' nose hair. Well, then do it as His nose hair. Well, I'm a foot. Well, walk for Jesus. I'm a hand. Work for Jesus. I'm a nose. Smell for Jesus. I can't do anything, but I can listen. Then listen for Jesus. Listen for the hurts and the pains and the needs of others and provide a comforting ear to listen. I can't do anything, Greg, but pray. Can you think of anything more important than to pray? My friends, this year is the year of the Lord's favor. We are called to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. The day of vengeance will come, but Jesus didn't read that passage when he was there that day. He said, this day, the year of the Lord's favor, is fulfilled in your hearing. Let us make it fulfilled today, tomorrow, and every day this year. Let us fulfill in our actions, in our words, in our deeds, that we proclaim to this town, to this community, to every person whom we meet, wherever we may be, we are about proclaiming the powerful, wonderful, liberating, transforming grace of Jesus and the acceptable, favorable year of the Lord. Give thanks and praise to God that He gives us His anointing, His Messiahship, His calling, His Holy Spirit to be about proclaiming the acceptable and favorable year of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
You have been listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of First United Methodist Church of Sigelville, Texas, and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright by Dr. Gregory S. Neal, all rights reserved. For more information or to listen to other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at First United Methodist Church, 101 South Kaufman Street, Sigelville, Texas, 75159. This program was produced by Dr. Greg Neal.